All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, September the 27th, 1981, and I am goofing around with a lot of effects on some new decking software. So
I was going to say, that's the first time we've done the long intro in a while.
Yeah, I was playing. I was just playing.
I think the audio actually sounds clearer on that, so it's just me after the second time hearing.
Well, it's this setup is actually a little cleaner audio-wise, because there's absolutely not a possibility of a ground loop, for one thing. And, I'm just patching an iPad straight into Mixer as opposed to multiple sound cards off of one computer, so it's a little simpler. And might as well get that ready for mid-show music. We actually, Tack pointed out to me that we had missed an artist, that their music's all Creative Commons, and I even remember looking at their website, so we're going to be using Triad Music tonight on the show, and I don't know how the hell I missed it, because I even remember looking at their stuff, but anyways, so tonight on the
show... Whatever was just before the show was good, too.
Yeah.
No idea.
I'm sorry, you kind of lost me there, so...
whatever was on just before the show, since I was listening.
Oh, on G15, okay. Hang on a second, I can tell you that. That was... Siome. That was Siome that was playing, and it'll start playing again when we get done with the show, because I just paused it. So, anyways, try to figure out how to work this thing. Right, tonight on the show we have Heavy Metal, Fox Wolf, BSV, and Nox. And, of course, I am Morps, and this is the show about things that interest me. What's up, guys?
Hey.
No. We are here to feed your ego.
That's right. Because I am an asshole. I mean,
All hail Morps.
Oh, God. Here we go again. I did again. I need to call the hotline. Yeah, I accidentally started a cult.
We all know how this happened. Oh, ended up last time.
Right.
It wasn't pretty.
It wasn't. No, it was not good. You make jokes.
Lava.
How the hell was I supposed to know they'd find it? Anyways, you think you're giving them an impossible task, and the next thing you know, they've got plane tickets to Hawaii. Fuck, I should have just told them to give me money. Isn't that what most cult leaders do?
Yep. Give me all your money, then drink the Kool-Aid. That's the formula.
There you go. It's like, oh, wait, we missed a step. You're supposed to put poison in the Kool-Aid, and I forgot about that again. Damn it.
Oh, come on. It's you. It's going to be beer, not Kool-Aid. Nobody's going to drink Kool-Aid.
Good point.
Anyone ever really drink Kool-Aid, or did they just wish it ran in their mouth and bit out? Because I don't think anybody swallow that stuff.
I don't know. If you make Kool-Aid properly, which is for every one packet of Kool-Aid, you use 5 pounds of sugar. So a little bit of station news. I'm expecting to build a new broadcasting unit, hopefully by the end of the week. I'm hoping we'll have it done by then, because I'm going to have to miss the next I Have Nothing. I'm actually going to DerbyCon. So I will be out of town over the weekend. Hopefully I can get the box built by then and set it up so that, somebody else can get into it and stream. So
yeah, that'll be cool.
But the hardware I'm going to be getting my hands on is actually fairly powerful, unlike the current broadcast box, which is an 8-year-old laptop. So hopefully we'll have less issues. That, and I've got some fairly decent sound cards to jam in it, and I'm toying with the idea of water cooling it, so I have to give it a dumb name like AquaCast.
That's cool.
So
yeah. I like the idea of water cooling. I think I need to put together a system that does that for me, because, fan noise, you get a little bit less ambient noise, it helps out a lot.
Right, that's the only... I'm actually not a fan of water cooling, because let's take, a conductive liquid and mix it with our, sensitive electronics. This is a good idea.
Well, what could possibly go wrong?
And unless you're using, liquid nitrogen, you're going to get better results from a giant radiator anyway. So.
That's true. I purely want it for noise control. So that's because I want to put it in the studio and everything has to be quiet.
And as far as liquid, I recommend propylene glycol, because it's non-conductive.
I was just going to go down to the auto store and get antifreeze, because that's supposed to be non-conductive as well. But, whatever.
Same stuff. But anyways, that's good. Glad things are moving forward. And I think Laser Wolf, I think it was, for the donation, or...
No, it's going to be analog, and it's not a donation.
Oh, okay.
He's got the parts, but we're working out a deal on that. It's as close to a donation as you're going to get, but it's...
So is it a bribe, then?
No!
Well, no, let's just say that form of payment isn't exactly legal in his state.
You can't let somebody take magic cards for computer hardware?
That's what kids are calling it these days.
Wow! So, moving right along. Kind of light on the news tonight, so but we've got some real winners here, and strangely enough, they're all from Ars Technica. I actually noticed that after I put the show together, it was not intentional. I just had a bunch of shit links, and those are the ones that stuck. So, yeah. This first one is a bit earlier in the week, but I figured we kind of had to talk about it. The FBI has announced that it has arrested LawSec member Cody Kressinger, 23, of Phoenix, Arizona, known as Recursion, charging him with conspiracy and unauthorized impairment to a protected computer. This is one of the guys who hacked Tony. Now here's the really scary bit. To hide his identity during performing the attack, the FBI claimed that Kressinger used VPN service HideMyAss.com. In spite of this activity, it was traced to an address in Arizona. Now, I've saw several stories on this, and more than a few of them were claiming that HideMyAss volunteered the information to the FBI.
Those
free proxies that just kind of let you run them for no good reason whatsoever, you might want to think about that.
Aren't you supposed to do, like, several proxies layered so that, you know, if you lose one, you're good behind multiple?
Well, it's even better if you can... Well, my favorite method for setting up a proxy is if you want to use a proxy like HideMyAss.com, and I'm not encouraging people who want to, you know, do SQL injection on Sony to do this, but if you remember, we've said many times on this show that members of LulzSec Anonymous, there are some of them that know what's up, and the rest of them are a bunch of scripties. If you're using HideMyAss.com, guess which side you're on. But if you're going to do it, the better thing to do is, you know, set up a throwaway email account and go get some free service that lets you run PHP scripts and just, you know, fill it out full of fake information, you know, hit from a Starbucks or something. And there's lots of open source PHP scripts that do what HideMyAss.com does, which is just relay your connection to the web server. So setting up anonymous proxies that have no logging on them is really easy. And if you're using HideMyAss.com and you're hacking from home, you're doing it wrong. So,
yes.
Yeah.
No matter how many proxies you behind, if it's out and at home, it's no good.
Yep. Thank you, Fox. That is a very appropriate picture.
Yeah, related.
Yeah.
So I'm behind 7 proxies. Oh, wait, they're all free and crap. They do nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. The free proxies that claim they just want to show you ads, yeah, they're not helping. They might even really be doing proxying. But now, that said, I've used HideMyAss.com, but the only thing I ever used for is bouncing around really stupid web filters. I was on an educational network that they did shit like blocking ISO downloads, and they had blocked a whole bunch of chat sites and just, you know, general stuff. I was actually using it to get stuff I needed for my class because they had it all blocked under the broad rule of hacking. It's like, yes, you know, CentOS was blocked being a hacking site. It's like, really?
I've had a lot of school computers blocked things by a keyword, and
yeah,
that's rather annoying and useless.
I'm pretty sure they had Linux listed as one of their keywords in the specific instance I'm thinking of. So it's like, go ahead, keep the logs. I don't care. But yeah, just, you know, be aware when you're using these free proxies, they're probably logging. And I don't know about how the FBI is operating, but if I was them, I'd be setting up tons of these free proxies just to get the logs straight up. That way, you know, you avoid the whole, you know, court order deal. So, but that's just me.
Well, yeah, I mean, they are smart about what they do. I mean, they invest in Facebook, so they know what's up.
Oh, there's a big Facebook story going around. I don't actually have any of that story in the notes because they were all written terribly and they're very sensationalist. But since we mentioned it, they've figured out that Facebook is leaving cookies in place even after you log out so they can still identify what sites you hit and have a like button. And then there was even a retarded story where they were defending it, saying they were using it to look for fraudulent logins or something like that. But yeah, Facebook is sucking in a ton of data, and I've got something in Digital Dojo to help take care of that. Just keep that in mind. So,
I recommend not script for Chrome. It works pretty good.
No scripts, not script. Yeah, actually, I need to play with not script. I haven't played around with that one too much. Of course, Firefox with no script, or my personal favorite, running a, you know, live CD in a virtual machine. That's
exactly.
That's mildly paranoid, but very effective. So, but next story here, the FCC is implementing its net neutrality rules. This is the same one that all the hubbub was about, you know, back around December. On the 20th, they are actually implemented, as in law. And the summary from the story here, this is the FCC summary of the rules. First, transparency. Fixed and mobile broadband providers must close network management practices, policies, performance characteristics, and commercial terms of the broadband services. Secondly, no bucking. Fixed broadband providers may not block lawful content, application services, or non-harmful devices. Mobile broadband providers may not block lawful websites or block applications that compete with their voice or video telephony services. Third, no unreasonable discrimination. Fixed broadband providers may not unreasonably discriminate in transmitting lawful network traffic. Now,
what reasonable discrimination?
Yeah, there's a bunch of wiggle words there. One, there's the whole, how many times was lawful used in there?
Yes, and how many times has the U.S. gone out of its way to stop non-lawful conduct? Lawful conduct.
You know, it's got unreasonable, it's got, you know, this is full of so many wiggle words. This is going to be decided in the courts, let's be real.
The last time they did this, the courts just, turned it over and said, you're not allowed, Congress has to do this.
Well, so they've reclassified broadband in such a way that they have some say over it, but they didn't turn them into something that they can directly control.
Ah, yes. The internet is now a virtual television.
Yeah, it's ancillary services or something like that. There wasn't a lot of details in the article, and it's been a little while since I looked into this. But, yeah, just something to keep in mind if you, you know, happen to be involved with an ISP. Apparently, net neutrality rules are supposed to go into effect. I'm not sure what's actually going to change. I know where I work. We just don't care. So.
Customer base has been doing a pretty good job of keeping them on net neutrality already.
Well, that's true, and you wouldn't even need rules like this if you had proper competition between ISPs, but you know, in a lot of places you just don't get that.
I have a choice between AT&T and the company that bought out AT&T. Damn it.
I actually had two choices.
I didn't want AT&T either.
Yeah, I actually had two choices, but only until recently. I had the cable company, and I had AT&T. And... yeah, I wasn't very happy with either one of those. So,
Exactly. Yeah, it's usually exactly that, a duopoly. Same thing here, you know, phone company, cable company. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, if you had real competition, you know, of like four or five ISPs in an area that you could pick from, one, you'd have the price wars going on, would be nice, because that way your broadband cost was actually going down. And two, anybody starting to pull that stupid shit, they'd all have to do it for it to work. Otherwise, everybody just goes over to the ISP that might charge a little bit more but doesn't, you know, filter your shit.
So. Exactly.
Hey, there's a thought. The FBI go out there, set up good ISPs that claim not to do any filtering, and then they've got the looks right there.
And they can do all the filtering they want.
You're assuming they haven't already done this.
That's a good point. I am assuming they're not doing this. So that's a very good point. They probably,
if they were doing that, they'd have better funding.
Well, you know, it's well known that they went in and set up all kinds of shit in the telephone companies back in the day. In fact, I think AT&T still has a massive facility that they pipe everything through so that they can sift through it.
I believe my father said that when, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, when you called the head shop, the way that the proprietor answered the phone was, don't say anything you don't want the cops or feds to hear.
Well, that's true, though, of anything. I mean, it's all potentially recorded.
And then you start the stopwatch, and a few minutes later they tell you, okay, you can say that now.
Well, you know, that's the thing, though. There's so much data flowing through these pipes now, you know, even with high-end searching and you know, filtering and keyword, and I don't know how the hell they'd actually find anything useful. Not if you know what you're doing, you're hiding it.
10 years ago, this was a sum of human knowledge. Now we're getting that per hour.
Yeah, that's probably about right. Of course, unfortunately, the amount of growth is mostly in bullshit and stupid YouTube videos. But, you know, what are you going to do? So,
or
I'm going to post more stupid YouTube videos.
Hey, there you go. Speaking of stupid YouTube videos.
I'm protecting from the FBI by making them watch my shit.
I have an audience. It's in law enforcement. Yay! Speaking of law enforcement, this one's kind of fun. This is actually not from Ars Technica, believe it or not. Austin police have postponed Operation War Drive while members of APD's Digital Analysis Response Team, DART, work on details of the operation. The operation was scheduled to take place on Thursday, today, as an effort to educate the public about securing their wireless internet connections. DART unit members were to make contact with residents who have open Wi-Fi connections and teach them the importance of securing them. So in other words, in Austin, Texas, cops were going to drive around, find people with open Wi-Fi, go up and knock on the door, say, hey, lock down your Wi-Fi.
That's just like an excuse to like name your you know, hotspots or something horrid.
Oh, I can just hear. I can just see that. Excuse me.
Something like it's locked, you cunt.
No. I was thinking something like this. You know, you hear. Excuse me, sir. Are you the operator of the Wi-Fi network? Lick my sweaty balls.
Well, yes, I am.
And you may proceed.
I just imagine you open the door with a big wooden pipe and a plaid robe.
That's what you need.
Hi, my name's Bob.
Yeah.
There were some pills from the internet.
God.
Would you like to lick my sweaty balls?
I think you know.
No, seriously, like the Ben and Jerry's ice cream, the sweaty balls. Would you like some?
Actually, I've heard a lot of grocery stores have to pull the sweaty balls from their shelves because people are bitching.
I grabbed some before they did. I actually have a pint of it.
Is it good?
Oh yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's rum balls, malt balls in vanilla ice cream.
Oh sweet! I'm gonna have to go straight to a Ben and Jerry's store.
Go put those sweaty balls in your mouth, Nux.
Wow.
Cricket.
Wow, you think the show is being done by a bunch of drunks? Anyway.
Yeah, it is. I was gonna say, I think you know, if you think about the cost of police, this is not the most cost effective way to get people to tighten up their Wi-Fi. I'm just saying, $50,000 a year, full health insurance.
Well, they're already driving around with a ton of equipment in their cars. It's probably nothing to just add an extra, you know, Wi-Fi card and a scanning program to what they've already got.
Yeah, that's true, but the actual knocking on the door and talking to people.
Well, you know...
They can also take a look at faces, get a few warrants that way.
That's also a good point, but, you know, too, what happened...
It's like traffic tickets.
Yeah.
The main purpose of those is to catch people with warrants out.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, cops used to actually help people out. Now it's like they're just trying to pounce on people, so this wouldn't actually be such a bad thing. You know, meet some of the local police, because they knock the door and say, hey, lock down your Wi-Fi. Although, if you don't, then you've got a great argument when they knock on the door for the kiddie porn and say, well, officer, I know you are on my network.
Oh.
Ways to get maced in 3, 2.
Don't tease me, bro.
Yep.
Run in police patrol. You will engage in 3, 2, 1.
But the thing that I love is once the cops connect to your network, that connection goes both ways.
Ooh. Yes, it does. Especially open Wi-Fi connection.
Ooh, yes, it does indeed. Now, granted, if all they're doing is running off NetStumbler, they may not actually connect. They just, you know, go, oh, there's an open one. Of course, then they got to figure out what house is, right?
Yeah.
So
they're the cops. They probably just call the provider and just ask which house it's at.
Hi, AT&T, we're down at, you know, 123 Main Street here, and we see about 14 routers called Linksys. Can you identify these for us?
It'll be $20,000 a number, please.
Yeah, something like that, huh?
And yep. they'll definitely pay that.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably true.
I think you scrolled past the MySQL story.
Did I scroll past the MySQL story?
Mm-hmm.
I may have scrolled past a MySQL story. There's a great MySQL story. I did scroll past the MySQL story. This is why multiple people get access to the show notes, because I've been drinking. So, yeah, actually, this is kind of important. Web security forum. See, I have been drinking. This is why Suave reads the news on I Have Nothing.
Armorize.
Web security forum. Armorize reported in its blog today, which I'm not sure when this was posted, that MySQL.com website has been turned into a launching pad for serving malware attacks. Visitors to the homepage of the site are hit with a JavaScript injection attack that has been planted on the site. The site opens an iframe to a malicious site, which in turn launches a black hole exploit pack that probes for known browser and plugin weaknesses, then stealthily installs malware, so it's drive-by download. And, there's no warning or anything other than just, you know, hitting the site is all you need. So, again, no script. It's your friend.
Mm-hmm. I find it rather late to write an article saying it happened today. I'd include a full day. Even if it was within the week.
Yeah, you know, I might be able to... I can just click on that link and see if they've got a date on it. I just didn't copy it into the notes. Yesterday. So it was yesterday. Yeah.
Or was it yesterday.
Cool.
Yeah, so... Anyways.
Yeah, well, this is the
September 26, 2011.
There
is
it
that
is.
Precise enough?
Well, nobody knows what day it is today.
I don't even get the year right in the intro, man. What are you talking about?
Today is yesterday, and yesterday is 5 days in the future.
And tomorrow never comes. But, so if you're going...
And it that makes tomorrow sad.
Wow!
Here at Galaxy...
Well done, this people. Well done.
Very serious, hardworking people.
And this is why we drink.
I'll drink to that.
I have a 12-pack of a really nice brown ale coming, so yes, I should be quite drunk by I Have Nothing time. So that'll be good.
I just went out and picked up Newcastle's new seasonal.
Nice.
They're Werewolf Red.
Werewolf
I haven't tried those yet. How are those?
It's pretty good, actually. Like they say in the bottle, oh, it's got some dual nature and everything like that. Like, it actually kind of does. Like, it starts out and you can taste a lot of berry in it, mm-hmm. and then it goes more wheat as an aftertaste. It's actually pretty interesting. It's good.
Nice. I'm going to have to pick some of that up.
I have to try that.
If we get enough offers of free beer and money, we will be placing feast on music that we use in order to do alcohol advertising. Because that's the only thing that I think we could agree on.
Well, we would instantly lose like almost all of the music on the stream. Because it's almost all of it is Creative Commons, you know, non-commercial.
Yeah, well, you know.
So.
Well, the beer companies just haven't started making music.
Well, hey, I'd go for that shit.
Yeah.
So, anyways, where was I? I've got, here we go. Last thing, like I said, light in the news. I didn't have terribly much that was just getting my attention. Then I've been really busy at work. I found a great security hole.
Basically, these guys have been a rope-a-dope for a while, and this one's just really nasty.
Yeah, you know, if you've got the choice these days, you want to use Postgres, just straight up. MySQL, especially since Oracle bottom out, has just been... They're changing the license. Now it's open core. So essentially you're going to get, you know, the open source free version, which will be your basic, and then everything else is going to be bits added on top of it. I'm actually kind of surprised Oracle just didn't shut it down the moment they bought it, so...
Yeah, no, that's coming. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, pretty soon, since everybody's going to go Postgres anyways, so... Or just SQL Lite, whatever. Flat files. Well, I'll just go back to flat files for doing our websites.
Oh.
Yeah. Nobody else gets my jokes. We'll talk about that in the topics section tonight. So, anyways, last thing we got here in current events. This is not a news story. This is just an article I saw on a blog, heftofthespear.com, which is an awesome.
Is that some sort of porn site?
No, it's a network security blog, but it's is your cybersecurity expert full of shit? So,
AKA, is your cybersecurity guy morphs?
I try not to be full of shit, but you know, there's only so much you can do when you eat a lot. So.
No, just like when they call you up, like, hey, I need you to work on my laptop. Yeah, I can't. It's outside of my scope. Or, no, I can't download that application for you. It's against company policy.
Yeah. Or,
no, I haven't been drinking, sir.
No, that's what you say when you're getting home and the cop pulls you. Anyways, I've got the key points of the article pulled out here. How to tell if they're full of shit. If they call something sophisticated or advanced without justification. If they demonize country X, usually China. Or if they are an amateur World War II historian or a product of the Cold War, i.e. they call things, you know, like the digital Pearl Harbor. So, yeah. Yeah, and then... Go ahead, Evan.
I was going to say, I guess that's a good point, but man, get that part of it, really, because I know an actual fairly decent security expert who is an amateur historian. So,
you know, I think if I ever heard somebody refer to anything as the digital Pearl Harbor, I would punch them in the throat.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not, very few people die, you know, because of a DDoS. I mean, it could happen. Yeah, I mean,
very few governments allow it purposefully to happen.
I would be a lot more impressed with hackers if they could start killing people. So,
there was the dude at Black Hat who figured out how to mess with insulin pumps.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but then do you have to be right next to you and know the...
Well, no, he was hacking his own insulin pump, which is
a funny thing.
They were using like a shortwave, sort of similar to, I'm wanting to say similar to like a Bluetooth or an RFID or something, but I'm sure you could build a high gain antenna and, you know, get like a mile away or something like that. But anyways, moving on with the rest of the article here.
Build a high gain antenna? You mean you don't already have two of those?
Well, you need them. They have to be tuned for the right frequency, Knox. Most of my antennas are tuned for Wi-Fi, but you can use them for Bluetooth, but I think theirs was on its own spectrum. I think he was actually building radio equipment, like microcontrollers and stuff. Anyway, so, you know, and then here's the bits the dude actually knows what he's talking about when you're interviewing your security expert. If he'll be the first to admit he doesn't know something, or just, you know, not talk about it because he can't give you a good answer.
I know nothing.
There you go.
I have nothing.
Then put your pants back on.
No, you're supposed to take your pants off when you have nothing.
Oh, right. Shit. Wrong show.
What do you think? I never wear pants.
And that was great fun, Gen Con.
Yeah.
That was all right. We just got Sard walking around holding the sensor bars in front of you so you could get past security. Anyways,
we just said it was cosplaying.
Actually, buy that shit, given the way some of those people in there were dressed. Holy shit.
It's a costume.
Oh, God. Scorpion.
Oh, God.
That's get over here. I'm hungry.
Since when did Jabba the Hutt become Scorpion?
Oh my God, that was
since
horrible. That was horrible. Moving on.
I should have worn my Tiffin costume.
Oh, Nux, please don't even go there. Oh my God.
Next subject.
I didn't want to know you had it. Nox has just admitted on air he has a Tiffa costume.
Stuff up, as far as you know.
Frankly, I have no idea what that is, and I'm going to remain blissfully ignorant.
Oh my God.
Final Fantasy VII.
Shut up. Have a heavy. Damn it.
Mikey. Talking. Oh, God.
This is not happening. This is not happening. This is not happening.
You're talking a 2 liter worth of your beer that's still in my fridge.
Quick, we need the eye bleach.
More beer.
Anyways, so moving on here, your expert who knows what's up is willing to admit he lost a couple of times and doesn't mind admitting that he's lost or made mistakes. And that one's true. If you get somebody who claims they're perfect every time, they either haven't done much or they're lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
So... And, yeah, and then the last point they make in the article is that they're actually willing to tell you something you don't want to hear or something you wouldn't want your clients to hear because it probably needs fixed.
So, yeah.
Anyways, the full article is a great read. It's over on halftothespear.com. Great, great article.
And after you're done reading the article, please purchase it and turn it into the aforementioned porn site.
There you just go. Saying. Wait a minute. But
.com, there's still .net.org and soon to be .xxx, which I'm sure will automatically be a porn site.
Well, and I should also give credit where credit's due. I picked up that article from a tweet by a man named Jack Daniel, who is not where the jokes abound. He actually is a security practitioner with a great ZZ Top beard.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great fun to follow on Twitter. So. Because holy shit, does he have some good stuff. So anyways, we're going to go into the break now, because I believe it is about halftime. And let's check something here. Okay. See, this damn thing will still work. like I said, still working out the software. So, this is off Triad. I think it's the album Listen, track You Are a God. So let me mute all the microphones here and hit play. back here. And to anybody who may have heard a bit of a gong on the stream there, don't mind that at all. So if you'll give me... Unfortunately, I don't have a quick way of getting that into this audio deck. So it's... I'm going to sit here and stretch for time. Wait, is everybody back? Can you all hear me?
Maybe.
Maybe? Okay.
I heard what you said.
Good. 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 Let me sit here and continue to stretch for time as I... You
bullshit,
know.
Bullshit, 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 bullshit,
Fox,
bullshit.
You grab that
bullshit.
End of this time, I'll grab the other. We'll try to see how far we can stretch this.
To the TARDIS!
There you go. So, just a little bit more. Oh, God! Ow! That kind of hurts, actually.
Yeah. It is a sonic screwdriver.
Have you set that up to be a cat prod yet, so you can link it into work?
I wonder...
Best idea ever.
Okay.
I'm gonna need more battery power, though.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, you could probably get some old laptop batteries. Those things hold more charge than a AA. Or just...
One of those disposable cameras.
They hold no charge, which is why you aren't using them anymore.
Good point,
Fox,
good point.
You also have to remember you need to attach two loose wires at the end attached to a disposable camera capacitor.
I've made a pair of Buzznuts out of a camera capacitor before. Fucking works, too, man.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
I taste Zard in the spine.
Did he fall down?
He was actually, he had somebody pinned to the ground for like tasing him previously, and I walked up behind him and his shirt happened to be lifted up, and so he was like, oh dude, I discharged it, just put it on his back, it'll freak him the fuck out. Yeah, it wasn't discharged. he went from being like pinning the guy to the ground to being on his back a few feet away. His own power, just because all the muscles in his back just seized. I lost.
Ow. Ow. I bet he was sore, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn. Yeah, I'd made a glove out of, something shit. And when I was done with it, you could punch something that was made of metal, and you'd get like 2 or 3 feet of sparks out of it. It was awesome. So.
Very nice.
That said.
Sir, we know those robots' weaknesses. Robots are made of plastic now. Darn.
Yeah. So anyways, it is time for the Digital Dodo.
Welcome to the Digital Dodo.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm just going to clip that out and use it from now on. Me laughing in the background and everything. So anyways, this first one, actually, I was... originally going to stretch out into a topic on browser-based operating systems, you know, the Chrome OS, a couple of Linux has been set up that way, that kind of thing. But I didn't have time to fuck around with it. So it goes in Digital Dojo. And that would be Splashtop, splashtop.com/OS. Now, a couple of years back, everybody was going nuts at the concept of this almost instant on Linux OS that was pretty much just meant for hitting a browser for netbooks, pretty much. Well, the whole thing kind of disappeared.
It's like Chrome OS, but Linux.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, oh, wait. But it was supposed to be an instant one thing. Well, it kind of disappeared, and you can actually download it. I haven't heard about it in a long time, but Splashtop is still around. You can actually download it, load it on like a flash drive, just install it on a hard disk on like a little partition, and get a very, very quick booting, minimal operating system. It's really just meant for hitting a browser, you know? So... this thing was kind of a fun idea a long time back when everybody was like, oh, it'll just be a chip on the main board and you won't even have a hard drive, and it's, you know, tablets and other things that they're kind of supplanted it. But it's out there, it's free, and I'm probably going to throw it on my netbook just to play with it. I just haven't had time to screw around with it, so the full topic on it, we may still come back to, but I just hadn't had time, so I just thought I would throw the link out there. And, of course, Digital Dojo is a great place where I keep my links in case I want to come back and find a tool later. So,
it looks like you can do a full Splashtop OS as a standalone install.
It is a full standalone install, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That actually makes sense. And I'm hoping they port this out for the Raspberry Pi, which is the $25, $35 computer. This would be perfect for that.
I don't know about
that. Imagining a terabyte catch on my hard drive there.
Well,
to click the catch. Let's go to lunch.
Yeah. What you would do is this would be for somebody who you know, either you have your big Windows or Linux install that's, you know, just a regular one. Then you take the extra, you know, gig of hard drive space and install this thing on the end, so you could just have a quick button for bringing the machine up and, you know, booting right into it.
Well, and that's why I'm saying, you know, for a $35 computer, that'd be perfect to dedicate to something like this. If you were to, you know, have a real laptop, obviously you'd want to, you know, run it.
Well, I haven't looked at the Raspberry Pi stuff lately. It'd be interesting to see if you could get something like this on it.
To update your Twitter from your wristwatch.
Hey, there you go. That actually sounds cool.
Yeah.
So, like I said, the concept was really big back when netbooks were the thing, and it's kind of disappeared with, you know, tablets and everything else, and people realizing, ooh, we want more than just a browser. So,
considering,
you know,
next year,
all my box tops, and I still haven't gotten that television watch.
Yeah, next year's standard processor for ARM is going to be a quad-core 2 gigahertz, you know, with a ridiculous graphics processors. Yeah, there's no need for netbooks anymore.
Unfortunate, too, because, you know, they're still throwing them around, and they're kind of useful. But
heck, anyways. I'm still using the Pocket PC.
There you go. So, anyways, next up in the dojo, we have PDFXray.com. Now, this is a fun concept. Essentially, this is VirusTotal for PDFs. The concept is you upload your PDF to this site, and it scans it for malware. So if you've got a PDF that you think is going to try to drop a shell or do something nasty on your machine, you know, this is great for that and for checking it out. I have issues with this, but if like somebody has sent you a PDF and you want to check it, this would be the thing to do. But, you know, here's the thing. It is online. So you are uploading anything you want checked to these people, which means this is a great way if you wanted a bunch of people to see random documents, just see if you could get, like, you know, whatever kind of information.
Quarterly report.
Yeah.
That really bad sysadmin's password storage system.
You know, people's resumes. I mean, but and you'd be surprised the taxes. Number of resumes you get with freaking social security numbers on them. I don't know why
taxes,
people do that.
Taxes, more taxes.
Oh yeah, all the tax documents out there. Holy shit. So yeah, just kind of, you know, it's a neat tool if somebody's like emailed you a PDF and saying, hey, you should check this out. You know, it's good quick check for that kind of a thing. But just be aware you probably don't want to send anything that could be confidential up to it because you don't have control of it. I really wish they had an offline version, like something I could just take and install on a mail server or something.
Yeah.
So. But right now they don't, so, you know, what are you going to do? Hopefully they'll go that way.
What you're going to do, you're going to check your email on a virtual machine.
Yeah, no shit. Next up, this is a Google Chrome extension. I'm sure there's Firefox one for it, but I couldn't find it in the 5 minutes I was looking. Well, 30 seconds more like, but this is, I'm not even going to try to read that link, but it's a Google Chrome extension that blocks third-party sites from using Facebook. So this is the like button. And essentially keep Facebook from tracking you when you're, you know, not on Facebook.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's all good. I mean, you know, Chrome has finally started to beef up on the extension, the ability to block a lot of stuff, and that's good. We've needed that for, you know, a minute. And then Firefox always had really good extensions like that. So.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the closest thing I could find for on Firefox was NoScript.
Yeah. Well, NoScript will do it anyways, so. You know, what are you gonna do? And what was the other one for Chrome you mentioned?
I've been up a lot more lately. Like, you'll just go to some random site and, oh, hey, look, even on my work PC where Facebook is allegedly blocked, hey, look, there's my Facebook photo, a like button, and a comment I can leave next to it.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah, I really am not happy with Facebook.
Proxy.
Yeah, no shit. Facebook is getting creepy, what it is.
Yeah.
So. What was the other Chrome extension you mentioned earlier, Heavy? Since we're
I'm using NotScript, and the way that one works is you actually have I'm trying to remember how exactly it worked. You install a file on your desktop, and then you actually have to encrypt it, the password. And I used a quite long 128-bit true password, and the idea is that it works out of that database. To exclude all the various bits and pieces.
Oh, geez, so it's actually encrypting sites are allowed and which ones aren't?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably what it is. It's a whitelist, and it basically just sits there and goes, boom, you know, whatever data it grabs, it encrypts it so that it can't be hacked. And so it's real easy. It's got a drop down, and you can either allow it, temporarily allow it, or block it from the site. And here's the cool thing. It has a button that's going to revoke temporary from the number of sites that you've allowed. So what happens is as you get mission creep, as you started to allow more and more things, you can just say every week or every couple of days, go back and just clean everything out and allow nothing. Yeah. And then go back and allow. That way you don't start getting shit in there working into your system, yeah. Which is good.
Still, I still like the solution. Virtual machine, live CD. Anyways, moving on. Next one up here is, this is kind of fun. This is off of Hackaday. It's building an oscilloscope using an Arduino and Linux. Essentially, you use an Arduino as the probes, and it sends the data up the chain. You have a Linux PC acting as an oscilloscope. Oscilloscopes are kind of expensive. Arduinos are not. So, just kind of a fun project.
That's cool.
I know what that word means. I just can't think of it.
It's a signal probe. It's like if you want to see the wave that's coming out of a signal.
Oh, right. Those.
Yeah.
The old round green screens that always have the squishy lines on them.
Yeah, people like to pick up old ones and see if they can hack them to do crazy shit. But, you know, they're actually quite useful if you're looking at a device and you don't know what kind of signal it's putting out. You can hook this up to it and actually see the waveform, that kind of thing.
Yep. So. Little point of trivia, the first display used to play Pong was an oscilloscope.
Yep.
So there you go.
But this is how to build a deep one using an old PC and an Arduino. So handy to have, especially if you're doing bit banging, you know, trying to figure out what a device is, hacking, whatever. Traditional hacking, not breaking into shit. So cracking or... I'm not even, you know, I've practically given up on the lexicon wars anymore. So, next up, this one, I don't know even how to say that domain, Luidiferia?
Yep, it's the Commodore 64 USB interface.
Yeah. Following up on the more Commodore stuff, because it's developing into an interesting hobby of mine, and I was not aware of just how much Commodore shit there was on the internet. There's a lot. So, but yeah, somebody made a USB interface for a Commodore 64. It's like a little microprocessor in your USB stick that lets it talk to USB interface. It's probably more powerful than the processor in the Commodore, but, you know, hey, whatever makes...
Yeah.
I know how that feels. My cell phone is more powerful than the PC I just fixed for one of my clients.
Hell, when I'll think about it, your cell phone's more powerful than your first computer.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't matter what cell phone you have or what first computer you had, it's still true.
My current cell phone is more powerful than like my first three computers, dude.
Yeah.
Actually, wait a minute. My first computer was a Commodore 64. Let's
see here. Yeah. I had the old Apple II, so that was good.
I don't know. I had pretty beefy Windows 3.1.
Clearly, you're a bit younger than I am.
And I have a pretty awful phone.
And we had one guy in the neighborhood before the Apple II came out that had the old TRS-80. That was cool. You would go over to his house, you'd boot it up so you could play the radar missile interceptor sim, and then you'll play in the backyard for 4 hours till it booted.
Yeah. All right, next up at Digital Dojo here, playterm.org. This is nice. What this is, they've got their own little custom Flash player that actually replays terminal sessions. So it's and there's just a shit ton of how-tos on there. So it's like, you know, everything from like cracking Wi-Fi to just, you know, setting up simple stuff, all in nice illustrated terminal how-tos, which are essentially videos. But because it's not like a YouTube video or somebody's holding a camera up to a screen, it's actually following a text log and rendering it out. It's like easy on the eyes and that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
So this is a nice site. If you need to know what you're doing administering a Linux box at all, this is a good place to start, playterm.org. And last thing we've got in the Digital Dojo is the hackarmory.com. Hackarmory.com/tools.
And it's spelled the British way, armory.
Yeah. Hackarmory.com is designed to serve the most common tools via multiple protocols, Samba, TFTP, FTP, RSync, SVN, and of course HTTPS, over both IPv4 and IPv6. Basically what this site does is they have a nice collection of common security and penetration testing tools that they're making available about as many ways as they can think of. So if you're on a job, on a site, you know, you've broken into a system, you need to pull something down, you don't have a great way to get at it, you can just rsync it over, you know, FTP, you know, Samba, for God's sake.
Yep.
So it's just a way of getting all their stuff. I was kind of browsing through it earlier. They've got an ISO download of all their tools. So anyways, but nice find, nice site, a large collection of stuff. If you don't know where to start, and you don't want to just grab, you know, backtrack and go off a live disk, this would be a place to start as well. So, all right, it is time for story time. And I've just realized I don't have the story time theme on my new audio thing here. There we go. I don't even need, you know what? I don't even need this DJ stuff anymore. I'm just going to have whoever's on the call with me try to imitate noises. Yeah. So we'll just have to have Tack on every show to actually do the Pure Decking intro live. That will end well, don't you think? It's like, let's just suggest that to him, and oh, look, he actually found a gun in Britain.
First show in, fuck you.
That's about what it would be, too, I think.
And he would remix that into a song.
Yeah. Anyways. So, you know, story time here.
You play it on the show.
Yeah, I would. You know I would. Story time. If you're going to send me malware and an office document, actually do it right. Or in other words, I would love to sue your ass, but you suck so hard at what you tried to do that I don't actually have any evidence.
So you failed so hard you won?
Sort of. What happened? Now, this is several months back. We had an individual try to get a job at where I'm currently employed, and his interview did not go well. It involved screaming and accusations of favoritism and other things that really, on a job interview, you wouldn't really expect, right? So,
that's when you're planning to hire.
Pretty bad interviews.
Yeah, it did not go well. So, of course, they said, you know, thank you very much for coming in. We'll let you know. And, you know, probably never called him back, right? So, anyways, he tried to get a job again. After being told, you know, we didn't think he was a good fit for the culture where we currently are. And again, they turned him down. And again, the interview was this horrible experience for all involved. So, now, here's where things get funny. They got another resume from him after being told, quite frankly, he will probably never get a job where I currently work. This time, though, when they tried to open the resume, the guy who got the resume opened it up on a Mac. And it wouldn't render. It just opened an error. So they sent it to me to figure out what the hell this thing was and told me this whole story of this accusations of favoritism. If you didn't go to the right high school, you weren't getting hired. You know, a brown nosing certainly came up. I think butt sex came up at one point in the interview,
really,
too. So
high
it's just
schools
like,
are like competitive in the
country. Yeah.
So basically you're saying Big Brother applied for a job?
Well, I think Big Brother has a little bit more tech than that.
Yeah, he would have made it a few minutes into the interview and making him think he's serious about the job before launching. So
before handing him his handwritten resume and
yeah. Wow. It's like, wow, he had to sharpen that turd to be able to. Anyways, I don't know where that just came from.
It's calligraphy.
Oh! You thought this out.
I never think anything out.
Anyways, so what ended up happening was they sent me this office document, and he had obviously tried to drop VB script into his resume. Okay? Now, the only thing you're going to really do with trying to put VB script in a resume is you're going to try to get it to pull down something and run it, right? This is Office Malware 101. Well, one, modern versions of Office have VB script disabled by default for that reason. And two, he didn't bother to do any research on the person he was sending the resume to, who is a Mac guy. And three, when I got a copy of it and started looking at it, he had tried to insert the VB script, did it wrong. So the document was just malformed. The script actually wasn't present in the document. He had taken one of the templates online for dropping malware and didn't actually put the malware in the document. Uh-huh. Now, this is the best part. This is a document that had his name, telephone number, home address, and work history on it.
Yeah. So that's like jumping in front of you, yelling, "Now you die," and throwing a bullet with your bare hand.
Yeah, it was just like, what the hell? So it's like, I would have loved, I wish he had actually done a better job of exploiting the system, because then we could have done something about it. But as it was, he just sent a malformed document. It was like, well, he gave a good try. It's like, yeah, we're really going to hire you for an IT support position when you can't even do a freaking canned malware correctly. I recognize the template. That's the funniest part. I know what template he was using. It's out of it's off of Injector. It's one of the, you know, the standard issue templates for doing VB malware. You know, Office Document Malware.
So not only is he using malware, but he's using really old malware.
Well, he doesn't know what he's doing with it. It'll work if you know what you're doing. But he didn't actually have a payload in it, right?
Right.
So it just didn't do anything. It was just a malformed document. So, yeah, I would love to sue your ass, but, because you gave me everything I needed but the evidence.
It's for Stuart. Is one of you Stuart?
I can pretend to be Stuart. Put him on. Hi there.
No, too late.
Hi there. My name's Stuart. We get the goat up on... Anyways, I don't know where I'm going with that joke. I need Madman here. He's better at it. Get yes. Madman here. Let him make the random phone call jokes.
Speaking of that, we need you to allow him to have access to your home when you're not there so that he can do the show.
Yeah, that'll happen. He is more than welcome to borrow the microphone if he wants to set up for Skype, but, yeah. Anyways, so, geez, it's already 10 o'clock. Yeah, we've got 5 minutes left in the show, and I haven't even hit the topic yet, so we'll go ahead and see what we can get done in 5 minutes. So, this is actually a fairly simple topic, but it's something that's been bugging the shit out of me here lately. The requirement that I have to keep quiet about what I find at work. And what I mean by that is, of course, I do information security for a living.
Yeah.
And I have found some really fun stuff, as you guys know. But, like, this latest find, I would love to go into it, because it's a great topic. It's great to talk about. It's a really fun concept. But if I do that, I compromise my employer.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure this comes up in other professions too, but it's just like
I like to say that I'm one of those people.
FBI.
You know, I get access to. I understand your pain. I understand because I hear deployment times and locations and all that stuff. We're getting a military base. You can't talk about that shit. You just don't do it.
Yeah.
Of course, it's perfectly fine for state representatives to go on public broadcast and blab out the location and the deployment time. But, you know, that's another story.
But it's just like this latest project I've been working on at work. It's actually a fairly simple one, but it's a fun concept. It is just... I could give you generalities, but I'm not sure how much I've actually said on the show about where I work. And if there's another to piece it together, this could be a problem.
Right.
So, you know...
Well, and that's the thing, you know, and I understand the frustration. It would make the show a lot more interesting, but you've got to eat, so there you go.
Well, I mean, I can say this about it, you know, don't leave passwords in your boot scripts, but, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, what I've found with this has just been fun, and I would love to go into it, and it's just driving me nuts, because the ethical thing is to not mention it until the problem's fixed, and,
well, yeah.
You know, of course, you know, where I work, politics keep it from getting fixed very fast.
So a month and a half from now, you'll be able to tell us.
A month and a half, dude. Try the sign hack I was telling you guys about. That just now addressing that.
Oh, they haven't even fixed it yet. I thought they okay. That's right. It went for committee a month and a half after. Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
Well, yeah. I will say they finally read it and took the report up the chain, and we're getting some attention for that one. But I just you know, and it's not even just. You know, and part of it's not even stuff like this thing where I could easily explain in about 5 minutes and you all would love it. But, like when I told the story on the show about doing the virus total hack by accident, right?
Yeah.
Partly that was my fault for not explaining it very well. I went into it very quickly. But because what I'm doing is very, very specialized, if you're not in the field or at least, you know, have some knowledge of it, it's kind of hard to even follow what the hell I'm talking about sometimes. And I don't mean that to sound half as arrogant as it just did.
No, I get it. You're a lot of jargon, a lot of assumed knowledge, that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, you know, if I'm sitting here talking about Meterpreter, you don't know what Meterpreter is. and you know, that's not a slight on anybody if you don't know what it is. It's, you know, it's like some doctor holding up some random tool you've never heard of the name for it before and then, you know, berating you for not knowing what it is.
This here's my oscilloscope. How dare you not know what the fuck it is?
Oh, I think we're going to close on that. I think Foxwolf just won the show. And
yes! Full of win!
Full of win. So let me get my music player up here. We're going to play another track from Triad. This one's called Alone. And with that, I haven't figured out. Oh, wait, promos.
Hey, sayonara.
Sayonara, but we've got promos. I forgot to do promos.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Promos. Of course, check out RU's new show, Open Mic Friday Night, although I don't know what night it's actually on.
It's on, in America, it's really, really early Saturday morning.
Yep.
Okay, that's technically Friday night. That could work. Of course, I have nothing every Saturday. Use Yugo's Newsreel on Thursdays, the Galaxy 15 Radio and Twitter handles. Do you guys have shit you wish to pimp?
How about the Nameless Review 7 on Mondays from BSV?
If it's live.
Yeah. I don't care to break my zero view streak on my latest videos.
All right. Well, with that, Sanora, as Fox was saying, who just won the show.